I'd like to call the December 6th meeting of the WPCA to order. We'll begin with a pledge of allegiance to the flag.
Second.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Lathrop.
Present.
Mr. Terry.
Present.
Commissioner Langton. Excuse me, Longton.
Present.
Commissioner Maselli.
Present.
And Commissioner Gladue is absent.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Does anyone have any alterations to the agenda?
None from us, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon?
None from.
Hearing none, item E, I'll entertain a motion to approve the discussion minutes of November 4th, 2024 regular meeting. Is there a motion?
Make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Item F, communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Does anyone have any communications to share?
None received on the plant end.
You. Hearing none. Item G, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a three-minute limit. Second call, remarks from the public, items on the agenda with a three-minute limit. Third and final call, any remarks from the public? Hearing none. Item H, report from operations. Derek, please.
This is Superintendent Derek Albertson. Process control was very good for the month of November. We had an average of 98% removal of the two key contaminants in treating the wastewater that comes into the plant. So the effluent quality is very, very good. Related to the effluent quality, and due to drought conditions, Rand Whitney has used a significant larger portion of our effluent for recycled waters for their processes, and we were able to meet that demand with high-end, very quality water. Literally, at points, the water going out the end of the plant would be considered potable, and the quality was so high. The distribution box project is pretty much complete. The coatings are on the two concrete structures. We're still in bypass because we're actually doing the final part of the project, and that it's removing grit. We are going to get our septic receiving station on Wednesday. That's the new capital receiving station. And as indicated previously, we make about $30,000 a month in septic receiving. That's free money. We don't really make a lot of it doesn't affect process in a negative way. We're adapting to the new GIS platform. The GIS is the Geographical Information System platform where we store and show all the locations of the assets. We also are able to store inspection reports on that format. Because of our industrial code, we have a stormwater requirement, and that's been going well. We did, during the recent storm event, we did an informal inflow and infiltration study with our collections operator, Dennis Kexel, and he found in one key area that we did not have problems. So that was a kind of an informal investigation, but it showed that we didn't have any immediate problems associated with rain and rainfall coming into the plant. We are looking at improving the Chesterfield pump station. That's ongoing. Ron and I met with the VFS, who is the controller for the fuel cell, in the annual review, and that looked based on the information provided, the performance of the fuel cell is exceptional. It's the best performing fuel cell in the state of Connecticut as far as being operational. It's, I think, exceeding all goals that we expected. The significant thing about the fuel cell is it creates on-site energy, electrical energy. Most of the plant, most of the energy used by the plant is electrical. And this allows for between over 90% of the electrical energy to be generated on site. So we don't have the transmission fees associated with that electrical costs, and they're significant. Ron will probably get into this in a little bit, but there's a number of residential developments that have been, we've been looking at for connection to both sewer and water. We're pushing for our operators to continue their certifications and their training. I want to welcome the new commissioner, Mr. Terry. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we have a significant outreach project for area schools, particularly the tech schools, Grasso Tech and Norwich Tech. We have a Grasso Tech student with us now. He's doing fantastic. And that's it.
Are there any questions for the superintendent? Yes, Dean.
I got just a question about the electrical storage unit that you have. How does actually do that? That's a stack of batteries? Is that what that's all about? I don't know what that is.
Actually, it's a proprietary process for taking natural gas, running it across a membrane, and it generates electricity.
It's production, not storage, yeah.
It's production. It's essentially like a generator of electricity.
So we're using basically methane gas to run that? Is that what that is?
The natural gas. We have a municipal natural gas supply. And I want to commend Ron McDaniel. I mean, he was mayor at the time, although I didn't believe it at the time. It's a $3.5 million fuel cell that we got for free.
Wow.
That Ron coordinated, got into the plant, and also they paid for the natural gas installation.
Wow.
And they pay for the natural gas, and we get the benefits. And that's, like I said, I think last month it was 92% of our energy demand, which is considerable,
right,
was made by that fuel cell.
And I see you made a note about hydrogen fuel cells. Those are coming down the line eventually, maybe?
Eventually. And speaking of battery packs, Ron and I spoke to VFS about University of Connecticut is using battery packs to diminish peak demands. So that's another way to save money. And we're going to go
up. Demand meter? Yeah.
Yeah. So we still got crushed on demand because the fuel cell was offline.
Right.
So they get you for that 15 minutes. You know, when they get
it
you for that 15 minutes.
Right up, and it doesn't come down. It stays.
It stays for that whole month.
Yeah.
Or that whole quarter, depending on how it rolls. But so we're looking to reduce that demand even more. So right now that production is direct. We don't pay any delivery charges on that electricity that comes to the plant because it's generated right on site.
And one last question that I had. I noticed that when I was reading this, that you mentioned it, that you're working with schools like Grasso and Norwich. Is there much interest?
Actually, it's growing. Initially, 6 years ago, I couldn't even get people to call me back. But once you get the word out that it's a good job, you can get a job anywhere in the country, anywhere in Connecticut, and the salaries are, union-based salaries are incredible.
Yeah.
And once the kids start seeing that, yes, it's almost too much of a demand now.
Really? And what do they do? Do they come to the plant and do anything? Do you have them doing anything there?
It started initially by me teaching classes and then field trips, and then it led to actually having an intern who works at the plant and gets paid.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Any other questions?
And he has them in the lab, Commissioner. I mean, he does lab testing. He goes out into the out into the farm and checks on things.
Nice.
The one that we have really is a standout.
Yeah.
support to bring people back in somehow.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to just get people. We have to grow them.
Right.
And just to add to the superintendent's report before I get into mine, we did lose an operator.
He didn't seem like he was with us very long.
He wasn't. And, you know, it didn't work out. So, you know, kind of the timing was probably best that, you know, go early than stay on and whatever. So
hard to find that, people. You got to get the qualifications right. So can you come in as, would you come in without any qualifications and then work for 1, 2, 3, and 4?
We've had that and tried to do it homegrown, but, you know, at this point, we really need somebody to come in at least with a basic knowledge and at least an operator one, you know, at least that certification. And he was a 5 in Massachusetts.
Are we competitive in pay to other towns?
Yes.
In this area?
Yeah.
Okay. How long did it take to fill, to get that last guy that didn't last long?
Between the time we advertised and went through the interviews, well, there was a lot of delays for a number of reasons, but it, at least 6-8 months.
Hey, Derek.
I mean, you got to poach them from somebody else. It's, you know, they're not coming out of a school for it, per se. Mm-hmm.
What is your manpower at right now, percentage-wise? You pretty much fully staffed, or are you?
We're down 1.
90%, just down 1?
Yep,
we're down out 1. Of 14?
Yep. Correct.
Hey, Derek, you mentioned the Chesterfield Pump Station. Could you elaborate on that? I see the equipment down there. What's actually going on there?
Chesterfield Pump Station is the oldest pump station installed, I believe, in 1972. It also represents the longest force main. So those two things would indicate off the top that it's a liability or potentially a liability. We had 2 years ago an engineering study on the wet well, or the water tank that holds the wastewater. And they used a machine to determine that even though it was an older tank, it was did have integrity. There was no imminent failure predicted. But the depth of the dry well, that's where all the equipment is, and the surrounding groundwater and the condition of the concrete is such that we're getting some infiltration into the dry well, or the place where we have the dry pumps and the motors, and there's a potential that the electronics, including the motors, could be adversely affected. So we've explored two remedies. One is we met a company last week that sells a Smith and Loveless top-seated a modular unit that has the pumps and everything to basically plug and play. The problem is we got a quote and we were just shocked with the cost. It was
$700,000 one, just quote.
I believe so. It was.
Yeah, it was just up there. I forget what the number was.
$763,000, I think, something like that.
So we have another Carlson Systems, and Craig Burmeister is a professional engineer associated with that organization, and he did our influent pumps. And so we've asked him to take a peek at what our problems are and give us a quote. And he did give us a quote, which was much more user-friendly. We have no imminent threat to that station failing. We just have to pay attention to it.
What is the equipment down there that's there now?
I believe we have a bypass pump.
Yeah, the bypass pump is there. Was just there just in case while we were working on the pump. So if that pump completely failed, there's two pumps, right? So if we had complete failure on both, we had to bypass the system.
What would you have to do? What did you say you would have to do if they both failed?
You bypass the pumps and you pump it into another. You pump it directly down into the force main with the bypass pump. It's a standalone trailerable unit that is the same as the kind of the pumps that are in the well.
Okay.
And just to add to that, the mechanics of we have a significant number of those different sizes, 6 and 8 inch bypass pumps. And a couple of years ago in the capital improvement, the WPCA was generous enough to approve But we have a real high-end bypass pump that is essentially a portable pump station. So if that station were to go down, we're good to go. We could really, you know, operate that station remotely with a pump station. I mean, with a trailer-mounted
Do we own that?
Bypass. We own that.
Okay. Any other questions for the superintendent? Moving on. Report from the administrator, Ron.
Let me see what can I add to his report. The Stony Brook Bridge project is substantially complete. We had some punch list items that we're not getting a lot of response from the contractor right now, and they're more kind of cosmetic with the insulation on the outside that we want them to just tidy up before we release any kind of final payment to them. But our engineer is following up with him to try to get that schedule finished up. Superintendent talked about the distribution box project and the bypass that's going on down there. So there's a significant amount of silt that was built up in the pipes that come out of the distribution box. I'm going to pass these two pictures down, and you can see exactly kind of what we were facing. So after they kind of got all the silt out of the distribution boxes and sealed them all up and everything else, all the effluent goes down through the pipes to the SBRs. And you can see by those pictures that, I mean, it's like your arteries, right, in your heart. I mean, they're significantly clogged. So right now we're in a process of trying to jet blast all of that out of there and suck that out. So we're going to have to remove all that grit and find and get that disposed of. Additional cost on the end of the project, but it has to be done. I mean, you can see that flow is significantly compromised.
Yeah. Probably 30% at least.
I would say at least. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want that to be my... we assisted the town with a drainage inspection at Camp Oakdale using our camera technology. They did find a large blockage in that drainage line. So we continue to work with the town and the Public Works Department on assisting them in scoping out those projects. And as Derek also reported, our collections operator passed his NUIA Grade 2 certification exam, so he's up to speed on that. One last thing on the computer system which kind of ties both into sewer and water, is we're not going to make it public on the public-facing side, but when you go into the GIS system from the staff side, you'll be able to see the sewer tie-ins and water tie-ins. We're going to have their sewer cards and their water cards available to staff as we have them. If we have the as-builts, we're going to be able to pull them right up on our system, which is very helpful for the contractors and homeowners. The only reason we don't want to make it public-facing is because people will start doing things without us knowing that they're getting the permits and changing things, and then we don't have the updated as-builts. So we're going to keep that kind of on the staff, at that staff level for now.
Plus, bad actors would know where to go.
Yeah, I mean, they could, sure, if you really wanted to mess with Chuck's, you know, sewage tie-in.
That'd be a pretty shitty thing. Any questions for the administrator? Thank you. Moving on, reports from the mayor.
Just first, I want to welcome Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Stepping up here. I think it rounds off our outstanding commission that we have here. And you'll see that we have a lot going for our fellows here in Montreal. And it's mainly because of the administration and the superintendent. The superintendent held the job down here for quite a while and kept things going and turned the organization into a profit. So, real well. Because WPCA pays a portion of the Everbridge, notification system that we have here. We found out that we weren't getting the people signing up for the notification, and we had included it to with several different modems on top of what the state gives us for free for notifications, but people still were not signing up. They felt the questions that we went asked were intrusive, and it got to the point where when we were sending out a notice for an event, people would see the number on their phones and then ignore it and then call the number saying, why are you calling me? So it's a sign of the times, I think. People don't want to give their information, period. So we have an opportunity to switch it over to another push notification system that works off of the website. And as soon as I can get the town council to approve me signing the contract, then we're going to kind of transition right into and allow the company that's going to provide the program for us to help us promote it and get it going as soon as possible. But I think you're going to see, and I sent out the samples to both the administrator and the superintendent so they can get an idea what it's about. But they use it in Stonington and with great success, and so I think it's an answer to our notification problems. And again, I mention that because WPCA pays a portion of that for us. WPCA also pays a portion of our boat launch and the fishing pier project, and we're trying to get the video system down there, and that's a portion that they had agreed to pay for. So what I'm pointing out is that we're still waiting for the final approval, and we're hoping to get that this month. And if we do get it this month, then we're going to send it out for bids. And I'm very anxious to get that project going. And this is something that was started under the former mayor, McDaniel, and hopefully we can get that going. That's it.
Any questions for the mayor? Hearing none, moving on to report from engineers. Derek?
Just a couple things. Ron had talked about the grit buildup in the pipes leading to and away from the two distribution boxes that we just had treated. I'd like to invite the commission to see this. It's pretty remarkable. When I got to the plant, there were a couple things that were really scary, and those two distribution boxes were very scary. We'd lost about a third of the concrete and about, half the rebar to hydrogen sulfide. So the integrity of these two boxes were something I was very concerned about. So what they did was they did aider, coatings after they mudded the concrete. And these boxes are bulletproof now. Not only does the coating is impervious and prevents any further corrosion, it actually strengthens the box. So we have a good thing going there. One of the concerns about grit in the future is that we may not be able to dispose of it in state. I'm trying to find out more information about this, but could lead to higher costs associated with its disposal. Grit is mostly like sand, eggshells, fingernails. It's kind of gross, but we wash it when we remove it as part of our preliminary treatment, and it doesn't have any odors. They call them vectors. No flies or anything come near it because we have a brand new grit removal system. So we're looking. I just spoke to the MDC today. They said we couldn't dispose of it there. Right now, we send it to Preston and Jewett City, I believe. Griswold?
Lisbon.
But we're looking into that. I also wanted to, as compared to last year at this time, November 2024, we used 10% less electricity as last year. And the main reason is it's a compliment to the operators. They're watching the amount of oxygen that's in the tanks we are essentially bug farmers. We grow a lot of microbes, and they need air. And most of the electricity is used to push air into the tanks. And by them paying attention, they don't oversupply the tanks. So we're not wasting electricity by sending too much air into the tanks. They're watching the right level. So by doing that, they saved, we use 10% less electricity. That's a considerable amount of money. Also, the compliment to the team is they average 6% total solids for the waste sludge. And I won't get into, you know, the whole dynamics of that, but 6% is within our contract for the haulers, but it's elevated. It's very thick. So that led to a 22% lower number of sludge hauls. Our waste sludge is hauled up to the MDC for disposal. That, again, is a huge amount of money. Between those two, we're talking in excess of $20,000 in savings. So it's big money. The as-built, I want to compliment Tiffany, who works at the plant. She's been she's very active in getting these links. So if you click on the property, you'll get like the assessor's card, the field card we used to call it, but you also get the links for the as-built for the water and the as-built for the sewer. And that is, you talk about a PR, public relations type thing. People call up, print that out for them. They're like your best friend. You know, they were going to dig right there. You know, oh, I didn't know I had to clean out. So we've really made some great strides there. Also, we have, they're in the spring going to finish Route 32. So we're working at buying all the manholes.
Allegedly.
We'll see.
They told me to get ready. So we're looking at probably over $100,000 in manhole work.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. There's supposed to be one every 300 to 500 feet, but boy, they sneak up on you. It's like, but that's it for me.
Thank you. Question. You mentioned we might have to send the grit out of state.
That's correct. Right now, our hauler, CWPM, has indicated to us that they're not able to send the grit for much longer to those two in-state disposal areas. So they are looking to stage a larger roll-off at our facility, which we would fill up, and they would come once every couple weeks and haul it away.
Where does it go?
It would be used as land
fill. We don't know
cover.
Yet. We don't know yet.
Yeah, but we
don't
know.
That's the million-dollar question.
But where is it going right now? Where do we send stuff?
It's going to Lisbon.
What's that?
It's going to Lisbon, to the incinerator.
So they burn it up. Is it landfillable material?
It is. Under certain circumstances, certain landfills have been permitted to allow that solid waste to be disposed of, but fewer and fewer of them.
Are there any areas in Montville that are low-lying that are not wetlands that we might look at as possible area for?
You can't dump it, no.
The landfill?
I don't think I want to come to that meeting.
No, that's not feasible. You'd be talking a DEP permitting process that you would never get through. If they're not going to be able to take it in Preston and Lisbon at the incinerators, there's no way they're going to let you dump it, open dump it.
Okay. See, I had no idea. That's why I asked questions.
Sure. No, I get it. And right now, like we said, we have this grit disposal, a removal process going on at the plant, and we still have to find a place to dispose of this stuff. I mean, right now we're storing it on site, but we have to find a place to get rid of it. Hmm. And the contractors will take it off site. Right now we're just doing it on site to keep the cost down of the trucks running from, you know, McVac. We don't want them running down to North Haven or wherever they're going to have to run to dispose of the material. And we want to keep them working on site to get this cleared as quickly as possible, because the bypass that's in place right now is costing us $3,500 a day. just to have that bypass in place.
Okay. Thank you.
How much longer do you think you're going to need that?
Oh, we have to be done by the end of the week.
That's when it says, by the end of November? Or
we're guns a-blazing right now. Yeah, we were supposed to be done by before Thanksgiving, and you know how things happen in the contracting world.
Yeah.
You know, things
drag,
and they slide to the right. So, but it has to be done by the end of this week, and then they'll start to demobilize the bypass units.
Do you see any? Do you foresee anything that would make us miss that date?
Well, there's a lot of grit there. I mean, we're going to take out as much as we can. I mean, it's...
Why doesn't Preston want it?
We don't know that. That's what I'm still trying to figure out. I'm on SCARA, and I'm still, I'm trying to figure out why they won't take it anymore. But I can't get any good answers. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I'm going to call Commissioner Dykes and
ask her. Once it's burned, the sand or whatever's there is safe to use for anything. I mean,
right. And it just goes into the ash landfill like everything else. So there's no... From my perspective, I don't understand why it just couldn't go to where it's going now. But it may be because of the fact that they're running out of space, and the fact that SCARA still has this lucrative contract that they don't want to give up the space in these landfills for, you know, extra stuff that, you know, they can charge.
Would Lisbon take it? Would Lisbon? Wheel Liberator?
That's where we're taking it right now.
Oh, you're taking it to Lisbon?
Yeah. Yeah, all our SCARA waste goes to Lisbon. So I assume CWPM is taking it there because that's the contract. Any solid waste that comes from Montville is supposed to go under our contract to where SCARA has a contract, which is Lisbon.
Thank you.
Sure.
How long is that contract good for? When does it expire?
Our SCARA contract? We got a few years left on that one.
I was going to say, I think John Carlson said 29.
Yeah, we got a few years left.
I think that's what it was.
It's not many, but it's...
It's an annual contract, correct?
No, we signed a 10-year deal with them.
Oh, a 10-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah. The towns, the 12 towns of SCARA have a deal with Lisbon for the waste. We have the lowest waste disposal costs in the state of Connecticut by a lot. Because when MDC closed, they can't take anything up there. When that incinerator closed up there, all that waste from all those towns up north is all going out of state. It's all going to Ohio, Pennsylvania, and down south.
So we have until 2029 to figure this out.
I think it's 29.
I don't
could
think
be wrong
we do
on
our grit waste. We do. Okay. Solid waste is a whole other story.
Okay.
Solid waste, yes, in 2029, but we're already starting to, you know, look at that contract. And we know what our escalator is going to be, and we have a good relationship with it's not Wheel Liberator now. I forget what their new name is, but... And even Preston, it's not Covance anymore. It's a Reworld. So there's only two. I mean, there's Covanta and there's Wheel Liberator.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Old business, we have none. New business, we have the meeting schedule. Frank, would you read the motion, please?
The Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to set the 2025 regular monthly meeting dates on the first Monday of every month, excluding holidays that will be rescheduled on Thursdays of that same week. The scheduled meeting dates are as follows: January 6th, February 3rd, March 3rd, April 7th, May 5th, June 2nd, July 7th, August 4th, September 4th, a Thursday, October 6th, November 3rd, and December 1st, 2025, to be held in the Town Council Chambers in the Town Hall starting at 6 p.m.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstains? Motion carries. Thank you. Item N, reports and referrals from planning and zoning. I'm the rep and I have nothing to report. Moving on to the Water Commission. A report from operations.
This is Superintendent Albertson. Nothing to report. The two operators, water operators, John Lilly is the chief operator, and the assistant chief operator is Kevin Loyler, have been sampling as part of the required, you know, what they're required to do. Also, we had a deadline in October for our inventory for lead copper rule revision legislation, and we did meet that deadline. And there was a lot of effort made by both of those operators and Ron and, again, Tiffany to define unknowns. And out of all the connections, we really came down to five of unknowns. And that's remarkable. We're very blessed when you compare ourselves to other towns, New London, Groton, Norwich, they have literally 5,000 to 10,000 unknowns where, because they have so many more connections, and those connections are so much older. So we were able to hit that first milestone. Now we have 3 years to provide an action plan and actually determine which of those are not, or find out if they are truly
I think we already have almost all five of those corrected.
Amazing.
Done.
Yeah.
So if we don't have all five, there's only one or two of the five that I'm pretty sure that we have. I'm pretty sure we almost got them all.
So we asked the public, you know, the ratepayer to take a picture or give us information that could help us define whether or not their water connection has lead in it. And this all harkens back to the Flint, Michigan disaster where they changed the water source and they didn't realize that that water and the treatment plant really weren't compatible and the pH was too low, so it was leaching lead and it led to poisoning of a pretty large community. So reactionary is the name for most regulatory things. So they've reacted, so all water supplies, all distribution systems now have to examine their pipes and make sure that they're not lead or lead soldered.
Marfil has completed ours, right?
And we have, yeah. And that was no small feat. So the report was due October 16th, and it was provided to the Connecticut Department of Public Health. And right now we're in a holding pattern for a couple years to do more
work. Were any lead connections found?
No. None were identified.
Okay. Any questions for the superintendent? Report from the administrator?
So a couple things. Biggest one right now is still the Cook Drive water tower. We're kind of in a holding pattern still because I'm still waiting on the easements. I have one easement in hand. We need three. I called the attorney today for one of the other clients. He did not get back to me. He's pretty accessible usually to me because I've had a personal relationship with him for a couple of decades. But I don't know what his client was worried that we were going to put new towers on our tank and compete with his tower business. And it's not the case. We can't even do it. It's physically impossible for us to put more communication equipment on that tower the way it's constructed. And then the
you
third.
Understand that?
Well, I'm trying to get his attorney. The attorney understands it. I'm trying to get the attorney to make his client understand it. Then the third one is we'll deal with, you know, on advice of counsel. Once we nail that one down, then we can go to the third person and nail that third one down. But that's what's holding us up from getting power to the across there, because Eversource won't go across our easement. They want to have their own easement that it's in their name to them. Coincidentally, they kind of need us for some issues right now to do something at the substation. So hopefully maybe we can put some pressure on. Derek and I were talking about that today. Maybe we can.
And that's holding up the state funding, right?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
No, it will. It may affect when we can close on that loan and all of that. But right now, no. But it's going to, I mean, you know, every day that goes by, like, you know, and anything else, where Eversource is Mercy, they're going to have some other emergency and we're going to get bumped and bumped and bumped. They have to put a pole up, run an overhead line, and run the underground line. I mean, it's not a huge job for them, but it's a matter of they're not even going to schedule it until we have these easements in their hand and they approve them and sign off on them. So, and I only have one in hand out of the three. Other than that, we've been going over the disinfecting and how we're going to drain the tanks and do all that. And we've been working with the engineers and John and Steve down at the plant on how exactly, you know, it's got to be a sequence. You know, which valve shuts when, which valve opens when, where we're going to drain, where we're going to have a little blow off so we don't have dead ending on the system so we can bleed. So we're pretty close to having that all squared away too. As we said too, with the water tie-ins, we're going to have like we have the sewer as-built online. We're going to have the water as-built online pretty shortly as well. We're also going to have auto pay on our system for people to pay their water and sewer bills. We're getting close to having that ready. So we changed operations on how we're doing. We had three different credit card organizations that were charging us fees to do all this stuff, and we realized we could do it all through one with Tyler through Munis, and that should save the authority a significant amount of money. What was also happening was we were eating the fees, which is wrong on an enterprise fund. If you paid by credit card, the credit card company would charge us 5%, and that was coming off the people's water and sewer bill. Well, the authority can't afford to absorb that. So we're changing that so that the fee gets, you know, tacked on to the back end of them. I mean, people aren't going to like it, but that's the convenience fee that you do. Same thing with your taxes, your dog licenses, your...
But don't you have the option to pay by, like, check over the Internet?
Yep.
And then the fee is...
They can do an auto pay EFT that yeah. they wouldn't get charged. Correct.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
I know all about that, paying my taxes.
I mean, it's a fee, but it shouldn't. I don't think we have the ability to write off that money. That's authority money.
Yeah, it's a big fee for credit cards.
Yeah, so I mean, we figured out. I mean, it's in the tens of thousands of dollars that the authority has been eating for years. So we've got that coming to change. We're going to Thursday. They're going to change the water meter down Peter Avenue to. So the meter on this side of the river is going to be the same exact model, make and model, as the other side of the river. They may not sync exactly, but they'll be a lot closer so that we can make sure that when we do our water audits that we're making sure we're not losing water under the river. And we're not getting charged for water that we're not getting. So that's going to happen Thursday. And I'm going to give you homework. So, Mr. Superintendent, if you'd pass those down. So we've been, long story short, this is a little primer on what has been going on with the water rates. We've eaten 7 or 8 water rate increases in the town of Montville that Groton has charged us that we have not passed along to the consumer.
I see you had the last rate increase was 2014.
Yep. Yep.
10 years. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and they've had 8. So... We're at the point where it's becoming unsustainable to manage the infrastructure over time. So we had our engineer commissioned a rate study. Superintendent began that before I came on board. So we've got all the raw data all kind of put together. We have some modeling that's available. But what I wanted to give you tonight was basically how it's supposed to work, what's kind of happened a little bit historically, and how we try to figure out what our capital reserve needs are going to be moving forward. So our plan is to have the engineers here at our next meeting in January to go over any questions you have. So I would like you to all to kind of digest this, read it, ask us any questions, but come up with questions that you want to have for the engineers to figure out what we want to do. Some of these percentage-wise will look substantial as increase for us to kind of need to be where we need to be. Dollar wise, it's I'm not going to say it's insignificant because every dollar that comes out of somebody's pocket is significant. But it's the percentage increase is worse than the actual dollar increase are going to be. But we're in an unsustainable model right now.
Didn't you say previously like the average bill is like $40 or $50?
$45 a quarter.
And it would only go up probably like $10?
I'm not sure exactly where the modeling is going to come out, Commissioner, but those are the questions, you know, that I kind of need you guys to be thinking about, you know. I mean, politically, it's not going to be palatable.
Well, I would lead with the dollar amount over the percentage because people really get bogged down in percentages, not knowing, not putting it together to what the actual amount is.
Yeah. And it's a couple step process. So as the process works is, I mean, you guys are going to have to kind of make a determination, figure out where you want to be. This commission approves it. Then it has to be presented to the town council who actually approves the rate increases.
So we're going to decide the percentage increase?
You're going to decide whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it gets presented to the council. Then they have to actually approve it. So the council actually approves all water rate increases and water budgets. Sewer can be just done by the commission. Okay. And we may be looking at a little sewer increase as well, but that's another discussion.
With something like this, do we have to have a public hearing?
Yes.
Is the sewer rate tied to the water?
In some cases, they're metered, but very, very few of our accounts are metered.
Okay. So you're saying that the majority of people in town don't have meters on their houses?
Not sewer, not
water meters.
No, because if you're on a well,
right,
you're just getting the general sewer charge.
Right. So they're using the sewer without.
Yeah, I mean, we have 10 times the sewer customers that we have water customers.
Right.
So there's no numbers in here, there's no percentages, there's no, but there is a little graph in there that shows you kind of like where we are and how, you know, we have to pay for this water tower, we have to pay for future infrastructure, we have to pay for the water that we're actually buying.
How much of a reserve do you have in the bank? Does the WPCA carry
for water
emergency?
For water?
Water or sewer.
Water, there's about $1 million right now, sewer, just under $3 million.
Does it have the recommendation of where we need to be in here?
It has kind of how your philosophy should go on cash reserves for an enterprise fund.
Are those reserves lower than they've ever been, or is that about where they always are?
Sewer took a huge hit with the Maple Avenue project for Rand Whitney.
I'm sorry?
The sewer, we had about $6 million, and we took a $3 million hit in about 12 months on that project. And when you're only recouping it at $200,000 a year, it's going to take a long time to build that back. And water, we never had a huge reserve in that area.
Mm-hmm. Not many issues with the water line, mostly the sewer line?
Yeah, but only because our water system is relatively new. So, again, with the lead and copper thing that the superintendent was talking about, that's kind of why we're in a really good position. We're not having to go out there and spend a lot of money replacing lead connections or anything like that. So right now it's pump stations, it's meters, it's...
What would happen if you had you needed $5 million? Would you go out for a loan? Would you borrow it from the town? How does that work?
The town would have to bond it.
I'm sorry?
The town would have to bond it. So the town is kind of responsible for the water side of things.
But what if it was an emergency situation, you had something?
Well, boy, I don't know. I don't want to know, Commissioner.
Oh. And well, the Maple Avenue thing was an emergency at the beginning, but we had the money.
Right.
Mm. And we acted proactively to prevent that from becoming a disaster.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're trying to get a little bit ahead of it on the water side right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions for the administrator? Report from engineers, Derek.
Just to add to what the administrator said is, you know, enterprise funding is revenues equal costs. You know, there were at least 7 Groton utility increases to water funding. I mean, water costs. all water companies and distribution companies are fighting the same battle, is people aren't using as much water as they used to. In-house, we did a study on what water we were buying from Groton Utilities over the last 4 years, which incorporated the COVID year. And we're actually buying, on average, less water per month than we did in 2020. And that's due to a lot of reasons, low-flow toilets, low-flow showerheads. People don't really wash their cars much anymore or irrigate their lawns. So there's just not the model available to make money on water just as is. So the rate increase is required. So the plan looks to expand over 5 years. Some of the options included charging for fire protection, using existing standards, AWWA, for example, for what is considered appropriate for, you know, for costing. We think that right now we're just the rate is irresponsible to support the infrastructure and the O&M that we need to do on a yearly basis. I think it'll be in, when we do have a public hearing, I think it'll be very easy for us to demonstrate by comparison how low our rates are as compared to Squaw, for example, and how we're not outside a market. And we're not trying to gouge or anything in that nature. It's just really to make our revenues equal the typical yearly costs. Because right now, we're contributing to our O&M with our reserve funds, and we can't do that forever.
I have a question. So I'm just making up numbers. So say we vote to raise everyone's water $10 a month, or the recommendation is $10 a month, and we say we're going to raise it $11 a month. Would that extra dollar go to the fund, to rebuilding the fund, or does it have to be neutral?
Well, the way enterprise funds work is you're really not, I mean, you really are, it's a business-like account with a net zero goal, so you're supposed to just make enough, you know, in a perfect world, enough revenues to meet your costs. So if we were to overshoot a little bit, yes, that money would go into reserve. And in the, what they call it, a generally accepted accounting principles, they recommend that you only have 90 days of money for O&M, which is ridiculously low. So we're pretty conservative. By having $1 million in water in our reserve fund, that's very healthy, particularly for a town like this. But that's not going to last forever. But we do have a young system. I think this step is very important to kind of set a new revenue standard.
Yeah, I think the key is, if you look at page 9 of 14 on there, it's just demonstrative of, you know, that black line is where our revenue is. The blue is our O&M. We're not even meeting our operating costs. So every year we're stripping out of our savings account to pay our checking account by hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Do commercial accounts, like say the apartment or complex that they build in the old Faria, there. I don't know if those are condos or apartments.
They're apartments.
Apartments. So how many units are there? How many units do you know?
72.
72, I believe.
Which is going to, how do you, do commercial customers pay more?
Yeah. Yes. It's based on meter size and how much can go through the meter. So
how would you?
It's metered. You get like a residential customer will get so many gallons allocated for that for their quarter, and anything above that gets billed at another rate.
Right.
So
we really could raise the commercial rates. Do we have a lot of people on the commercial rate?
Not too many.
No.
And our big users are, you know, the casino when they're drawn from us, the prison, the car washes, the laundromats.
How long are those contracts for with, like, Corrigan and
Forever? Forever. They can't buy any water anywhere else. They're set whatever our rate schedule is set at. per meter size.
So they're set on, they're going to be set on the 2014 rate?
Correct.
Forever?
No. Whenever we change our rate, their rate changes.
Okay, okay.
There's no contracts for anybody.
Okay.
No.
We don't need their approval?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
Got it.
No, whatever the rates are, that's why it's a public utility, like, you know, so that's why there's a public hearing. If they want to complain about what they're going to charge is going to be, they have a right to come to the public hearing.
Got it.
No different than Pura and Eversource.
Real quick, just has the casino gotten back to pre-COVID levels of water use?
Both water and sewer, yes. Their flows, generally I look at it a couple ways. One is just the overall sewer bill and water bill, and those are consistent with pre-COVID. There's a variance in, they'll have like a car show or a concert or a game, and you'll see this sudden increase. But generally, I look at the revenue stream, and it's back to what it was. During COVID, I mean, they were just running the faucets.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I mean, a third of our influent coming into the plant and, you know, like a significant amount of our water sales went away for 6 months. It was unreal. But they bounced back. So they're doing quite well.
And believe it or not, it's not the potable domestic water. It's the air conditioning and whatnot when they run the chillers at the prison and the casino. Mm-hmm. That's where they get significant usage.
Anything else?
That was it.
Okay.
I'm going to email this. There's a couple pages that are blurry in there. I'll email this to you all as well.
Okay.
Maybe it might be a little clearer.
Thank you.
On the online version.
Okay, item D, old business. We have none. Item E, no, there is no new business. There is no report from SQUAW this month. Section 3, remarks. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Second call, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Third final call, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Hearing none, remarks from commissioners. Dean, any remarks?
I'm here to learn. I'm just trying to get very interesting. So, we'll see how I do.
Frank.
I'm good.
Kevin.
No comments tonight. I think everything was covered really well. Thank you.
All right, for myself, welcome, Dean.
Thank you.
And Derek, you're going to set up a tour for him?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yep.
We got a lot going on, and I invite the whole commission. We have some pretty neat things going on there right now. They, with the bypass, they did plastic fusion, and it's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's going to be cold, but this week is a good week.
Yeah. Well, whatever fits your schedule, I'm fine with.
Okay.
So you can just text me and say, I'll be here at this day, at this time, and I'll be there.
Okay. And Mr. Mayor, I want to personally thank you for bringing Dean on board. We've been minus a commissioner for way too long. I spoke to you about it, and you took care of business. Thank you very much.
More good news coming for you, because Commissioner Terry has agreed to apply for the squad liaison.
Wonderful.
Keep closing my hand in that car door.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, I told him. I told him just like the old days when he was sitting over there with Leo, and I was sitting over here.
Yeah, the only two here, Leo and I.
Yeah. All right, I'll entertain.
I'm sorry?
Goes around, comes around.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned at 6:59.
Glad, did you all see these pictures? Yikes.
Stop.
Oh, yeah. The pipe's a little clogged.
Hit stop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the size of that?